This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladef. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladef, a very good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Nice to chat to you.
Nice to chat to you as well. Before we talk some of the other topics, what's happening regarding COVID in Sydney?
Here in Sydney, we are just over halfway through what was flagged as a two-week lockdown. Everyone is on Spielkiss, to use a tentative journalistic phrase, to hear the government's announcement at the end of this week, i.e. on Friday, whether or not the lockdown will end or whether it will be extended. So the numbers are, it's all relative, obviously, to relative to Australia and nothing to do with what's happening in other countries. So the numbers have been, 2 days ago, there were 16 new cases. Yesterday, there were 30 new cases. So, but the Premier has been saying that the numbers are not as alarming as was feared at the beginning of the lockdown. So basically, schools are due to reopen on Monday, as in this coming Monday. And so obviously that's what everyone is waiting to hear and see. And this, you know, a big story in today's media, restaurants, etc., because they can't reopen for business on Saturday if they were told about it on Friday night. So so everyone's basically on speakers waiting to see what the government's announcement will be. So the numbers are relatively low, but it's all relative to what has been. And again, with a big push for vaccines. So yesterday, there were 160,000 Australians were all vaccinated.
Oh, that's good.
I think their first jabs. Mm-hmm. So just pushing for that vaccination. Obviously, the more people vaccinated, you know, the safer the whole world will be.
Absolutely right. Let's talk about Durban 4.
Right. So as I have no doubt listeners will be very well aware, that this year marks the 20th anniversary of the appalling conference known as the Durban Conference, the UN conference supposedly against racism, which took place right before 9/11, all those 20 years ago in 2001. And this year will mark the 20th anniversary of that conference. And the conference, so-called, is due to happen at the United Nations in September. Australia has announced that it will join the UK, US, Canada, and Israel. At this stage, I don't know if there are any other countries, but in staying away from that conference, in boycotting that conference. And there's an outstanding statement from the Australian Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, saying, quote, "We will not associate Australia with one-sided and contentious language that singles out Israel or an event that champions such language. This is consistent with my government's very strong position on UN General Assembly resolutions in the Human Rights Council and elsewhere. We will continue that same approach to Durban 4 later this year." And an excellent principled position taken by the Australian government. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry, the federal roof body of the community, has written to the Prime Minister to thank him, commend him, for taking that position and saying that Australia will not be part of it. And just to remind everyone, after 2001, there was another conference in 2009 and then another 10th anniversary one in 2011. And this year now is the 20th anniversary of that, you know, appalling moment in our history. And so great to see Australia take this principled position.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very good news. And I see a fair number of countries are doing that, which is very, very good news. Let's talk about the Prime Minister. He's promised to visit Israel.
Yes. And segueing from that is that Scott Morrison has now sent a message. He called, actually, the new Israeli Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, right after Naftali Bennett became the new PM of in Israel, and to say that to promise he will visit Israel as soon as possible at obviously a mutually convenient time. And he called him to congratulate him, and in his report on the record he said he had a very good conversation with a great friend of Israel, and Naftali Bennett made the same sort of remark, saying that he had a excellent conversation. I mean, Scott Morrison saying with a great friend of Australia, and Naftali Bennett saying he had a conversation with a great friend of Israel. And they talked about cooperating again in high tech, in free trade agreements between the two countries, etc., and Australia supporting the strengthening of Israel's status in the world. So, and Morrison, just to remind listeners, received the Jerusalem Prize in 2019, 2 years ago, in acknowledgement of his support and friendship towards Israel.
Amazing. I mean, really, really an incredible relationship this. And I think so important that it shifts from prime minister to prime minister, because then it says it's not just a personal thing.
And exactly. And in this country, it has very much been bipartisan. So Scott Morrison is a conservative prime minister. The party's called Liberal Party, but it's a conservative party. And that friendship has been on both sides of the aisle. So Labour Party, very strong allies of Israel as well, with Bob Hawke, Julie Gillard, and just to go back for a moment in history, at the United Nations, that vote in 1947-48, it was an Australian who was in the chair when the vote was taken to accept and recognize Israel as an independent state. His name was Doc Evatt, H.B. Evatt, and he was in the chair at the time. So it's a very strong bipartisan relationship on both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely incredible. Let's talk about domestic violence in Australia. How serious a problem is this?
It is a problem, and I think I would be egregiously irresponsible to say anything less than that. And I guess within the community, as is globally now, it's becoming more and more evident and self-evident that there is this problem, which was just less talked about before and now is talked about. And I have to declare a personal interest here is that my wife runs this program called Mum for Mum, and it was under this umbrella, she, as executive director of this Mum for Mum program, where older mothers support.
I love this idea. You told us about it a few months ago. Absolutely love the idea.
So they just held, she just organized a domestic, focus on domestic violence, and many, over 100 people turned up. And the panel was a very distinguished panel with a CEO of domestic violence in the state, a psychiatrist, a former South African guy who deals a lot with victims of domestic violence, and a professor who's written books on this issue, and focusing on how big a problem it is within the Jewish community and what support there is within the Jewish community. And one of the most interesting parts of that forum was a brief presentation by the CEO of the Australia-Israel Chamber of Commerce, who spoke about a program which she has brought back from Israel, which was started in the Bank of Israel, of all places, where any employees of the Bank of Israel who are experiencing domestic violence, if they report that to their employers, i.e. Bank of Israel, then they will get support from the employers. That support being real support in terms of material and financial, et cetera, and has brought back that policy, but that practice here to Australia. So it really was a really practical, touchless event, and just alarming in any event. I have to declare again that I actually was moderating the panel, and did a significant amount of reading so that I could
be prepared,
you know, make some semblance of being informed. And just pretty alarming, actually, even the legal system, how very often it will support abusing husbands. And so the result of that will be that women who are suffering from domestic violence won't go to the courts because they're afraid that they might lose the custody of their child to an abusing partner. So it's a complex scenario, and I would be doing a huge disservice to suggest that it was not a problem within the Jewish community. I'm not saying it's a bigger problem in the community than broadly, but certainly our own community is not immune to this issue.
Very, very frightening, but very good that something is being done. Karen M says, what amazes me is that Australia and New Zealand have proved that COVID precautions work. Imagine if the whole world had listened in March 2020, COVID would perhaps be over. I hear it. It's a very, very interesting comment that Karen makes.
And she's right. And obviously, you know, one death is one death too many. but the number of deaths which have occurred in Australia as a result of COVID is 910. Now, that 910 is 910 too many, but when one compare, that's a population of 26 million. Compared to numbers in many other countries, it's a relatively low number.
Absolutely. That's where we leave it, Vic Aladev. Thank you, as always.